Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Man, I'm glad there's no one fat that's in this room this afternoon. I have a talking with him after Pete Hegseth this morning. I don't know if Sue's dialed into that all.
I am not.
We're going to dial you in. I like it when, you know, because you're doing different stuff during the day, so you're a good test case on some of this stuff.
That's true.
I feel out of shape.
Well, you know, can you do the physical fitness test that the military members have to do?
Of course. I can't do the ones the high schoolers do.
Fred, I'm probably with you on that.
Come on, you've done so many new things that we never thought you were capable of.
Like
international travel. Let's get you into the gym. Why don't you join me at the MAC a few days a week and we'll do some lifting? Of course, I haven't lifted a weight in like a year and a half, so I don't know what I'm talking about. This is very reflective of how out of shape I am. I call this like the summer of 24 is like the lost summer for me just because of the mental health stuff. So I really haven't played golf at all.
And you
I
mean
haven't
25,
really
summer
wait 25. Sorry. Yeah. See, I don't even know what freaking year it
really
is
lost.
But I hit golf ball. I went to Topgolf in Chesterfield on Sunday morning with some friends, and I'm so out of shape that my lats are actually sore just from swinging an 8-iron. That's really bad.
Totally get it.
Yeah, that's not good, though. And, you know, I'm using the excuse, and Sue, you know this is an excuse, but the road closing by my house.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, because, like, if I'm going to zip out of the house in the morning and be very, you know, dedicated to fitness, it won't take me very long to get to the MAC from my house. It's like 15 minutes without traffic, right?
Uh-huh.
But it's 25 minutes with the stupid road closing, then it adds another 10 minutes. So that makes me rationalize the fact that I don't have to get into shape because the road is closed. Once the road opens again, whenever the hell that's going to be. I checked with them last week in Valley Park. They say the end of November. It's funny because the contract calls for this to be finished by November 30th. And they said to me, the contractor has not asked for an extension yet. and they only have to pay like $1,600 a day if they're late.
That seems like a lot to me
as a
person.
Well, no, as a person, but when you're talking like a multi-million dollar contract and stuff like that, that doesn't... If they've got to spend an extra $50,000 and delay the thing for a month, they'll do it. You know what I mean?
You know, what's interesting is that you call... We got to start calling about I-55, Fred.
Yeah.
Apparently that does stuff.
Because,
I mean, you're calling like all the time.
Well, I'm not calling. I was the guy at Valley Park and I, we've gotten to know each other because I was a smartass when I wrote at the first time. Figure, right, Fred? I'm not saying. And he's very responsive to my messages. And the last one just said, hey, we're just looking for an update because, you know, the neighborhoods, they actually have one of those numerical signs where you can kind of flip over the number, right? And I think they were actually attending to that at one point. So it would say like 26 weeks, and then it would say 25.
Oh,
and then
I
someone,
gotcha.
Probably kids started messing with it. Then it started saying 72 weeks. And I, you know, it was just all over the place. But you guys here, and I don't know how your reaction is going to be. I'm not sure what the listeners are going to feel. You guys are very, very fortunate to have me in the studio this afternoon. Now, I know that you probably feel that on a regular basis.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I feel the love.
Oh, yeah.
But so this is actually a serious story. And Fred, you kind of know what happened. So
yeah.
I pull out of here last night. And we are located right downtown, a couple of blocks from City Hall. We're at 13th and Olive. Is that fair to say, 13th and Olive?
Yeah.
So this street right over to my right here is 13th Street, right?
Yes.
And catty corner from where we sit right now is the War Memorial.
Soldiers Memorial.
Soldiers Memorial. And then to the right is the public library, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I take a left out of the building, which is Olive. I take a left on 13th. I go to Market, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I take a right. And I don't go to 14th because of the lights.
So I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, because there's lights. Yeah. So I zip through. I take a right. There's never anything that really stops me or slows me down. So I take a right on Market. I'm just trying to paint the picture here.
Yeah.
So then I'm coming up on 14th Street. That's where the Opera House is, right?
Yes.
So I'm in the left-hand turn lane to go south on 14th, right? And when I turned the corner onto Market Street, I could see a green light. So I had a green light. I turn the corner. I go up to the intersection. There's one car coming east, one car. So I'm about to inch out into the intersection so I can make my left-hand turn.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden,
oh, no.
A Metro bus comes barreling through that intersection. And I mean, this wasn't a yellow into a red situation. I told you when I turned onto Market, it was green. So I had a solid green that had been there for, you know, 15 seconds or whatever. That red light had not just changed. And this dude, or woman, I don't know, I don't want to misgender anyone here that works for Metro, blows through that intersection. And it was one of those, oh, but for the grace of God moments. It really was.
Oh, my gosh,
I'm about
Mark.
To inch, and I think I would have lost that fight in my
yes.
car.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
But I was just stunned by it because now I've sent a couple of messages to Metro just to inform them of
yes.
the situation. I said, because in my mind, if I'm Talby Roach, who's the guy who runs Metro, who, by the way, hasn't responded to me, but I'm sure he's a busy guy. He doesn't just do a radio show and almost get hit by a bus every night.
Right.
He's
good
got
point.
Much more important things to do. But if I'm in a position, you tell me, wouldn't you want to kind of find out who that driver was? So you could go up and you could pull the camera from last
yeah.
night right around
yeah.
6 o'clock and you could see which bus flew through the red light.
Mark,
I hope they do that. I really do.
Help me out. Are you, so you were on Market trying to turn left onto 14th at
yes,
this time?
Right at the Opera House. So
and,
I'm catty corner from the Opera House, about to turn.
The bus is coming east?
The bus is coming north. From like Enterprise Center, from where the station is. You know,
so it's headed over toward
us. It's coming, yeah, it's coming
okay.
north. I'm about to turn south.
Okay.
So he about to crash into me when I'm about to go south, even
wow.
though I had the green light.
That is scary.
Did you slam on your brakes to avoid it, or did you rush through it?
No,
or
because
I was
inching into the intersection. You know what I mean? Because I was waiting for that other car to come through. Now, this is an important point, and you guys know this because I've talked about this before. I am regularly on my route home, regularly, always on alert in these intersections because of something like this. I mean, I'll be honest with you, last night caught me off guard, but when I get down to Shoto in particular, I never go through a green light without looking both ways.
You
can't. Now, I would have expected maybe I didn't react the way that I would have, you know, if I would have seen a car come flying down, maybe I would have been in the intersection already, you know what I mean? But I must have seen something that kind of kept me from inching out there, and sure enough, this guy comes
wow.
blowing through.
That is scary.
Hey, let's be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I would say. All right, we got a lot to cover here on the show, including, you know, I mentioned this a couple of times, but I want to get into it just a little bit more. On Friday morning, I took a tour up in North City of tornado damage. I had not been up there yet.
Oh,
you know,
interesting.
And I saw a little bit of Forest Park before Friday, but I had a friend who said, look, you need to come up here and see, you know, the damage and the devastation. And then the question becomes, how are we going to rebuild from this? Now, there's a little bit of information, something the city did today, or I guess maybe yesterday that Kara did, that changes some of the permitting for where you can live and whether you can use your garage for residents, at least temporarily. We'll get into that. But Elliot Davis is going to join us here in just a little bit. Former Fox 2 investigative reporter, but he does some great independent journalism out there. We have a bunch of other stuff this afternoon, including our friend Charles Lipson from the University of Chicago. You know, not only is there a crime. And I don't know how many people here in St. Louis have followed this. I haven't seen any coverage in our local paper, but I picked it up on the X, formerly Twitter. There was a shooting last Friday night in Columbia, Missouri, and crime has become a significant factor in mid-Missouri. And my old friend Fred Perry, who was a Boone County commissioner, and he started Inside Columbia Magazine, which is a great magazine, by the way, popped off about this on Facebook, and I saw what Fred had to say, and I wanted to get him on and maybe explain some of that story. So that's coming up a little bit later this afternoon. All right, so Pete Hegseth does this big thing, and I don't know how many people had heard about it, but he had called all the military leaders to this event on this day, Tuesday. They really didn't tell the generals what to expect, so they're all gathered in a room. President Trump addressed them after Pete Hegseth, but the defense secretary, or do we call him the Secretary of War, Fred?
Secretary of War.
Yeah, I think that's what Trump's calling him right now. This is the messaging.
The only mission of the newly restored Department of War is this: war fighting. Preparing for war and preparing to win. Unrelenting and uncompromising in that pursuit. Not because we want war. No one here wants war. But it's because we love peace.
So part of the messaging is about the standards that are set for military members, including physical fitness standards.
But when it comes to any job that requires physical power to perform in combat, those physical standards must be high and gender neutral. If women can make it, excellent. If not, it is what it is.
So he, you know, the New York Times has, of course, their take on this afternoon. And I always like the way that they, well, I'm kind of being sarcastic here, on the way that they do their stories. But they do this story about how, you know, the people that were sitting there in the room, he's lecturing the military brass on what it takes to win. And of course, their version of the story focuses on the people that may take issue with Pete Hegseth. But I guess what I've always deferred to military experts on a lot of the military topics. You know that, Fred, over the years, because there's a different perspective. I'm a civilian. There's different rules in the military. So a lot of times when issues like this come up, I will defer and I want to hear what the experts say. Now, I do think that there's going to be a lot of people that won't like this, but you can't tell me that the majority of members of the military won't be for it.
But if the words I'm speaking today are making your heart sink, then you should do the honorable thing and resign. We would thank you for your service. But I suspect, I know, the overwhelming majority of you feel the opposite. These words make your hearts full. You love the War Department because you love what you do, the profession of arms. You are hereby liberated to be an apolitical, hard-charging, no-nonsense constitutional leader that you joined the military to be.
All right, so no more woke stuff. We're going to focus on the mission at hand, and that means no more fat people.
I'm also directing that warfighters in combat jobs execute their service fitness test at a gender-neutral, age-normed male standard scored above 70%. Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world.
So that's their focus. The narrative this afternoon from the Never Trumpers, you know, at the Bulwark or the New York Times or whatever, they're focusing on that particular part of the messaging, saying it's insulting to the brass. The generals had to sit there and listen to this guy tell them what they should do, and they won't be happy about this. And I'm guessing that some of them probably won't be. Jack Keane said it was great.
I thought it was quite exceptional and, you know, delivered with passion. It had moral clarity to it. It had a focused sense of purpose on its 10 directives. I think he was kind of trying to do two things there, make certain that we are establishing very high standards that we demand of ourselves and demand of our troops so we can meet the challenges in war that are so needed. Mm-hmm. And he's also trying to get some of the impediments and burdens and bureaucracy and nonsense off the backs of our leaders.
Fred, remind me who Joey Jones is. Former military member, but he lost his legs,
lost both
right?
Legs in combat.
He agrees with Pete on some of these issues.
I certainly hope so.
Let me set this up better, because this was specifically, should the fat generals resign?
I certainly hope so. I hope any of them that think what he said was offensive or wrong sign their papers, take the fat retirement, go hang their uniform that doesn't fit anymore in a closet, and go give speeches for a living or join some think tank. They can still be of value if they have something to contribute. But if you're not on board with this type of culture, you don't deserve to wear the uniform anymore.
It's going to be interesting to see what the reaction to this is in the next 24 to 48 hours. We have a government shutdown that's going to occur tonight as well, so we'll be all over that. We're off and running here on a... No, it's not Monday.
No, it is not.
It's a Tuesday edition of the Mark Rudin Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Fred and I are keeping a little bit of a tally today because, I mean, every time I look at the television, Trump's up there doing something different. He had a media availability. I think he had one even before the Hegseth said speech, right? And then the Hegseth said speech, he followed that up. And then there was something else later in this morning. Are we at number four right now?
Pfizer.
The Pfizer announcement, right.
But this is the fourth one now.
And this is something on
childhood cancer.
Right. Dr. Oz is up there. I hadn't seen Dr. Oz in a while. He's all grayed out now, right? Did he dye his hair for a while? I think he did.
I think he did. He looks his age now.
Well, he's still dying the eyebrows, I think. Who knows? Anyway, so I mentioned I took this trip up to North City on Friday with my friend Pete Foley. Pete's just someone who's retired, really wants to do some things for the community, has been volunteering with some of the folks up there. And he reached out to me a couple of weeks ago. He says, Mark, if you haven't been up there, you need to go and you need to see this because it's just sad. And it's also unusual because you'll see some homes that are unscathed right next to ones that have become rubble. And there's, you know, paperwork on every door, if there is a door, saying this is not safe to, you know, to be in here. So one of Pete's questions, and I don't know what the answer to this is because it's so complicated, but one of the questions is, if we don't do something here and get on top of this and try to rebuild these neighborhoods and give these people who live in the neighborhoods like a sense of purpose and ownership, this is going to stay that way. It's not going to change. You know, it could be a decades-long process. So, you know, I don't know what the answers are, but I wanted to invite Elliot Davis, retired Fox 2 investigative reporter, who is doing some great independent journalism work on Facebook right now. He's been really dialed into some of the recovery efforts in North County and North City. Elliot, how are you this afternoon? Thanks for coming back on with me. I appreciate it.
I'm doing good, Mark.
So, you know, what happens...
Old guy out here in the street.
Yeah, well, I like that you're out there, and that's why I took this trip myself in person, because sometimes I need to get out there in the streets and, you know, kind of see what's going on. And one thing that I didn't see, you know, so we're driving around several neighborhoods. You know what I didn't see on Friday morning? a whole lot of work being done. I mean, there were some isolated homes that have contractors. Maybe they had insurance, but in many of these situations, the homes, you know, were paid off. They didn't have insurance. You've seen some of the, you know, wrecked neighborhoods. What are some of the answers here, Elliot, moving forward? Because this could be something that St. Louis, and we already have our challenges with population and crime, et cetera, but I fear that if we don't get better leadership and a handle on this and maybe some money, that this is going to turn into a bigger problem.
The storm has been a disaster, and the response to the storm has also been a disaster. We have come really to almost a standstill. I'm not going to blame folk, although, you know, there are some, but in a number of ways, things didn't get done. The disaster declaration didn't get signed until almost 4 weeks after the storm hit, and FEMA couldn't come in until after that disaster declaration got going, which means the city did not have resources to help the people. The city wasn't prepared for it. Mayor Kara Spencer had a study done on the city's response after the sirens that didn't work, and so people didn't have a warning. We started off bad. We started off terrible. A lot of people didn't even get a warning that that this tornado was coming because the sirens didn't work and the people didn't hit the buttons and all of that. And so Mayor Kara Spencer, and I think it was a law firm that she hired because she wanted a study, an investigation done, and she wanted transparency. And I have to applaud her for that. And they did the investigation, no holds barred, and they said the response was abysmal, the response to the storm. Yeah. And you read that. And so everything had a snowball from that. The city was not ready for this thing. So the residents had to rely on private organizations like the St. Louis Urban League to get going. FEMA didn't come in until late. The city was hoping to get the Army Corps of Engineers going. That was taking a long time. They're just now getting going to get some funds as a result of work by Senator Eric Schmidt, I think $180 million, and FEMA's now agreed to kind of pay 75% of that to start tearing down some of these houses and haul away the debris. We don't even know if that's going to be enough. It's $1.7 billion. Here's the problem. $1.7 billion in damage, up to $2 billion. People talk about the RAMS fund. Well, that's $290 million if you spend all the RAMS fund on the tornado. The state approved $100 million. FEMA has spent, about $48 million so far.
Yeah, it's still far away from the number, right? Yeah.
If you add all the money that they have available, and then FEMA's going to kick in another $180 million. Maybe you've got $450 million available from all of that stuff, right? But if you've got $2 billion worth of damage, you still got a long way to go.
Yeah. Did you now see? I mentioned this yesterday a little bit. I didn't really read from it. Did you see the Wall Street Journal piece on all this yesterday?
I actually read it.
Yeah, so let me just share this with the audience a little bit. They feature St. Louis, and we're not featured for good reasons nationally, typically. It says, minutes after a mile-wide tornado struck this city on an otherwise beautiful day this spring, Ali Rand heard her husband shout as he surveyed the devastation surrounding their Tony neighborhood of historical homes. Everything is gone, Rand remembers him saying. So they go through the details of the, you know, of the tornado, and they quote someone saying, I think it's Ms. Rand, I've never seen someone from FEMA out here on the streets. And then the article says, this is by design. St. Louis is a test case for the Trump administration's new policy of shifting more responsibility for natural disasters to states and cities. City officials and local residents who are still clearing rubble 4 months after the tornado said the experiment isn't going well. So I don't know, you know, what all is involved here. I don't really mind shifting some of the responsibility to the state and the local officials because maybe you have inefficiencies with FEMA. The problem is we see to be kind of in the the hole here in between what wasn't working and what might work in the future, and we're kind of becoming the victim here. So I don't know what more can be done, because if I hear your math, it sounds like we need another $1 billion, right?
Yeah, you can't do this in the middle of a crisis. You know, it's like trying to repair the ship while it's sinking. You can't wait until the middle of a crisis and say, okay, we're going to do some altogether different. A number of FEMA workers got laid off. A number of the budget cuts happened with FEMA. A lot of changes were happening. Just simple things, like there was a person that I used as my FEMA point man to get information. Now, he can't talk anymore.
Really?
He's got to kick it. Yeah, he's got to. I call him actually again today, but I'd called him before. But I used to call him all the time. He'd be right there, Johnny, on the spot. Now he can't talk. And so they're tightening the screws in Washington. That's impacting the people on the ground who've been doing a good job. North St. Louis looks like a war zone.
Yeah,
it looks
really
like
does.
A disaster area. Nothing really is any looks that much better than it did right after the storm hit. And I had just what you said. I had, and just what that article said, essentially I had one of the residents, I was out there in the field doing a Facebook on it, and they said, it seems like everything has come to a screeching halt.
And part of that, part of that's because of the bureaucracy. Like, look, even in the journal article, they talk about this requirement that all spending of $100,000 or more has to go through this process of approval, and it involves dozens of layers of review. So I'm not sure what the answer is. You would hope that Senator Schmidt and Senator Hawley, and I think that they are working on trying to make this process go a little bit faster, but they're talking about, Elliot, $700 million just to clear the debris. That's kind of what I'm talking about. You can't get to a discussion about rebuilding or doing anything else until you clear out this debris, and we got to get that done, whether it takes a combination of private and public, but that has to be done.
And then what happens when you clear the debris? You got a big empty lot. So would you have one good house on the block and the rest is just one huge vacant lot? What's going to be built?
That's a great question. It is a great question. Yeah.
Are there any plans to build anything, to rebuild the neighborhood? They don't have the money for that. So maybe that one house got spared, but that means there'd only be one house on a three-block area. Because many times you go, and I've gone to these blocks where there is all the houses on the block are destroyed.
Yeah.
Or nearly destroyed. And so what happens once you tear down all those houses? Then what do you got? Huge empty lot to match a lot of the other big empty lots in the city. And so there's no. I do think that the mayor is doing everything she can. I honestly believe that. And I'm not critical of what she's doing because I think she's doing everything she possibly can do. But I think a lot of the changes being made by the Trump administration in Washington, that's impacting the FEMA people on the ground, making their job so much harder, ultimately hurting the people here. Like, a lot of people didn't get anything from FEMA. Some people got lesser amount, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. I mean, FEMA spent $48 million on this deal. They helped 9,000 households, but 15,000, that, for example, 15,000 home inspections, 9,000 people, not 9,000 households got money, 15,000 home inspections. Well, what about the other 6,000?
Yeah, right.
Did they get anything? Nope.
Yeah, it's a mess. It is a mess, and it kind of was impressed upon me when I took that tour last week. But you stay on them. I don't blame the mayor either. I think she's in a tough position now with the bureaucracy, but I do hope that, you know, folks like Senator Hawley and Senator Schmidt and members of Congress are trying to push this forward to get us the help that we need. Elliot, great to hook up with you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Right, yep, take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I talk about the Wall Street Journal a lot. I pay $39 a month for that thing.
Jeez.
I feel like I get my money's worth. But here again, I'm talking about another article that was in the Wall Street Journal about, well, it has reference to Missouri. Here's how it started. Teacher recruitment has a racial discrimination problem. On September 16th, the U.S. Department of Justice sued the Rhode Island Education Department and the Providence Public School District over a debt relief program that allegedly used more than $3 million to forgive student loan debt for teachers of color. Many schools consider race when awarding scholarships and debt relief under the Grow Your Own Teacher initiatives. And with us this afternoon to expand on this, because in that piece in the Wall Street Journal, Neetu Arnold, who's with us this afternoon from the Manhattan Institute, mentions a lot about what's happening in our state with discriminatory scholarships. Neetu, how are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
I'm doing really well, Mark. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, but obviously you see stuff like this and you kind of wonder what's going on out there in the world of
right.
DEI, where there's kind of a backdoor into some of this stuff. So what did you find out about this Grow Your Own program and kind of how it relates here to Missouri and maybe some other states out there as well?
Right. So Grow Your Own programs, it's a teacher recruiting initiative, and it's sold as a way.
Whoop, we lost her.
Well, I certainly agree that we need.
We lost you. We lost there just for a second. That seems to be happening a lot, but go ahead. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, just as I said earlier, Grow Your Own Teacher Programs, it's a teacher recruitment initiative, and it's sold as a way to address teacher shortages in schools. And I agree that we need more quality teachers in classrooms. But the problem is when programs start discriminating by race. And what I found with these Grow Your Own programs is that some states and some schools are using it as a way to offer scholarships and student loan relief by considering race. And that is definitely happening in Missouri. I found, for example, Liberty Public Schools near the Kansas City area has a discriminatory scholarship program where it's only restricted to high school seniors of color. So this is definitely prevalent in Missouri, and I'm really glad I get to talk about it here.
So what is there, you know, we've gone through this process even with a couple of our former attorneys general in Missouri, Eric Schmidt and Andrew Bailey, who are both off in Washington right now. But some of the focus from them has been on some of the, you know, discriminatory practices in DEI. Is this something that just sort of slips through a little bit without people noticing unless someone like you kind of digs around? Or is there anything, because what you're saying here is in Missouri in particular, you have districts that talk about race in their application materials that had a far higher approval rate in this Grow Your Own program. And is that basically what's happening? They're trying to siphon people out. Now, you also mentioned, Neetu, that people, and there's indication out there, some of the science shows that minority students perform better when taught by teachers of the same race. So is that what they're going for, I suppose?
Yeah. So, I mean, to answer your first question, it is very prevalent. And I actually had to dig through public records requests to find this information. I asked for application materials and how schools are answering the questions. And that's where I found out that many of them are trying to close demographic gaps between teachers and students. And I think one of the reasons it feels like you have to investigate and look into these programs. It's just very vast, and there are so many different programs, and it can be difficult to keep track of. And so that's why I think it's necessary to investigate these programs. To address your second point, so there are some studies that teachers and proponents like to they like to bring up to justify these programs. The studies apparently show that matching same-race teachers to students means that those minority students perform better in schools. Now, I want to say one thing. First of all, those gains are super small, and they don't justify undermining anti-discrimination law. But I think it's also important that we make clear that the research is looking at matching same-race teachers at a school to the students that are already at the school. It doesn't mention anything about hiring practices, and that's what we're seeing in practice, that states and schools, they are encouraging race-based hiring and recruitment.
So there is another interesting kind of flip side to the story here, and you reference it in your piece in the Wall Street Journal. I've seen another couple of reports on this, but and I don't know what you make of this, but there is an indication that in the aftermath of COVID, where you know we already had problems with math and reading scores in this country, they got worse out of COVID. But there's an indication that some of the southern states, like Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, are improving reading outcomes because they have a bit of a different approach. You got away from phonics, now there's a little bit more focus on that. What do you know about that research, and does it kind of hold up that these states are making bigger advances to some of the other states in the north, the west, or the northeast?
Right. So we're seeing states like Mississippi surge in reading scores. They used to be in last place just 10 years ago, and today they are leading the country in gains. And I think that's something we should celebrate, but it's also an opportunity to learn from states like Mississippi. And what they did was they followed the evidence on the best reading practices. They didn't shy away from phonics. They also have support systems in place, and they even had a third grade reading retention law. They're holding back students who are in third grade.
That's interesting,
isn't
it?
Who can't read at grade level.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's controversial.
It is. Right. Because parents don't want, I get it. You know, as a parent, I joke with my daughter all the time. She's in fifth grade. I'm like, I don't know if you're going to make it to sixth grade. But, you know, they don't want the stigma with their kids. But in some cases, it's showing that this, you have to. I just talked to someone today who's doing some substitute work in a local school district, fifth grade. And there were several kids in this class who could not read. There was one kid who's from the Middle East who didn't even speak English.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, you have those challenges as well. But it's amazing to me because we see, you know this, you see stories that they're kids that get through high school and they graduate and they can't read.
I wish we didn't see it as a bad thing to hold back students. I think everyone learns at a different pace. And I think it's a lot more important that students are able to read and they have their basic facts down rather than trying to push them to the next level. And so it should be seen as an investment of time rather than as some negative intervention.
Right. No, I agree with that. And then one of the other things that you reference in the piece is how, you know, I have a son who's a teacher in Chicago, South Side of Chicago, mainly black school. He's one of the only white teachers in the building, and it's tough. I mean, he was in Columbia, Missouri before that, and it was even tough in you know, Columbia, which is not as big a city, and they don't have as many challenges racially, socioeconomically, and otherwise. But look, you know, I'm hoping, because he's shown some wear and tear, and this is only his third year of teaching. But you have these teachers that are retiring. Who can blame them, given the nature of where we are right now? There's a lot of stress out there. You mentioned California banned suspensions for, quote, willful defiance. So you have kids that are getting into trouble, for example, in California. The teachers clearly probably would want some discipline, and they're kind of hamstrung, and they can't even dispose of that, you know, discipline because of the rules they have out there. So you can understand why there's more teacher burnout.
Exactly. And I think if we're going to address teacher turnover rather than resorting to racial discrimination, I think we should be addressing the root problems. And you're exactly right to bring up school discipline. Schools and states are stripping students or they're stripping teachers of their ability to manage classrooms, to discipline students effectively. And that's why we're seeing teachers leave. So I think we should focus on making sure teachers have the right tools to manage students manage student behavior and keep classrooms safe.
Absolutely. Nito Arnold, thank you so much for coming on here with us this afternoon in St. Louis. Very appreciated.
Thank you.
All right, take care. You know, Sue, the reading thing is interesting from my perspective. And my daughter, like, we just got, I can't even remember. Sometimes it's the STAR testing. Sometimes it's the MAP testing. I have no idea. I know that she doesn't do well with, I think she's doing a little bit better, but she gets all freaked out with testing. And for a couple of years,
kids do.
Yeah, I know. Well, like, we would see her scores. We're like, wait, what? Like, maybe she should have been held back. I mean, we didn't really think
right.
that. But then they gave her the ability, and I don't think they're doing this anymore, but she was able to take the test by herself, not in the classroom, and she did tremendously better. But on the reading front, you know, I when I was a kid, now, you know, memory doesn't always serve you exactly right, but when I was a kid, and I'm talking about maybe just starting when I was 10, 11, 12, I was reading a lot, and I loved reading. I loved reading, you know, fiction. I remember when I was very young, and I know this because it was in the mid-70s when it came out. We just talked about the Jaws anniversary. I read Jaws and The Deep, Peter Benchley's
books. That's impressive.
Before I was 13 years old. Those are kind of adult-themed
books. What happened to you?
Well, that's a very good question. I went through, you know, college, and maybe in the immediate aftermath of college, I was still reading. But the excuse that I use is that I'm always reading. Like, but I'm not reading fit. In other words, I'm reading everything throughout the day to get ready for the show. But that's a lame excuse. I mean, I wish I was talking with Steve Butts about this when we headed up to the Mizzou game, State Rep Steve Butts, who I think might be here on the panel on Friday. But he tries to read a book a week. I mean, that's some amazing discipline there. But the point I was going to make with my daughter is, and this is a bit of a concern, she can read. She is at an advanced level of reading. But a lot of the books that she wants to read or will spend time reading are these graphic novels. Now, we didn't have those like when we grew up, right?
We had comics, but that's
not
the same.
Yeah, but not in school. Did you get those? Because
oh, no.
These are picture books, basically, and there's no doubt that there's dialogue. But I understand using those as a way to kind of draw kids in and make them interested. Yeah. But you know, I'm going to have to keep track of this now that she's in fifth grade. I'll be very curious to see how this moves forward with reading assignments and books and the tone of the books and the level of maturity that might be needed for some of those books. So I don't know, but it concerns me just because on a national scale, if all these kids are learning to read and they're learning to read with picture books, they're not really learning to read,
no,
are they?
No.
Yeah, part of my concern
there.
It's not
the same.
Exactly. I had David Strom on last night at the 5 o'clock hour, and I read a piece that was in the New York Times. And, of course, the New York Times is always going to lean toward this narrative than an opposite narrative. But there was a woman who they featured who said some things in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk that weren't too kind. But they weren't vile and disgusting like some of them out there. And she got put up there on Libs of TikTok, and then eventually, now she was in academia, lost her job. In the case that I read last night, I wasn't particularly fond of that person. I didn't really love what she said at all, but I do think there's kind of a line that is being crossed in some of these instances. Now, what I would say about the New York Times is, hey, how about doing a story on some of the people that kind of deserve to be canceled here and are saying things that are revolting and that people can react to and they can speak with their, you know, their checkbooks. And that's what's happening today with Netflix. So there's a show up there on Netflix called Dead End Paranormal Park, and it's, you know, a 7+ show. So it's on the children's portion of Netflix, and it's advised for the age 7+. So the guy who created the show is named Hamish Steele, and on Blue Sky. I'm not on Blue Sky, so not Bluetooth. Blue Sky. He has his handle up there is at Hamish Steele. He, they. I'll never really understand that. Sorry. I'll never get that. He, they. Says Eisner and GLAAD award-winning creator of Dead India and Netflix's Dead End Paranormal Park. I Go Man Volume 1 out in 2025. And, you know, then he says this. And this was his tweet about Charlie Kirk. He said this on the 11th of September. Why the F are you even commenting on this, Blankhead? Your sympathy for any of the families being slaughtered by your weapons, but a random Nazi gets shot and it's public statement. You are such a blanking evil blank. That's pretty hardcore out there from a guy who creates a show on Netflix where you have a trans character like this.
It's not the park. It's me. I'm trans, Norma. And everyone at school knows, and everyone at home knows. And being here, it's like a whole new place. I can just be Barney, and I can choose if and when I tell people. I've never been happier, And that's saying something when I spent today chased by terrifying zombie mascots.
Okay, well, those terrifying zombie mascots must be the cis white kids, of course. So that's called Dead End Paranormal Park, which is, again, advertised for 7-year-olds plus, and it's promoted on Netflix Kids. And now you have, and this is a trend, and of course it becomes a bigger trend when Elon Musk gets involved, and he said this is not okay. And if you go to Libs of TikTok right now, which is a pretty good account on the Twitter and TikTok, I guess, because it's called Libs of TikTok, you will see, let me just press on this right now, because there are dozens and dozens of people who are making the stand and canceling Netflix because of this dude. And they're featuring a lot of the, here's some of the stuff that's going on here. I guess there's another show called Ada Twist Scientists, which showcases young students coming together to set up and celebrate their teacher's gay wedding. And Michelle and Barack Obama are the executive producers of that. So that's, again, that is for 7-year-olds. Some of the stuff, I think you can maybe give a pass when it comes to, you know, teenagers. But that's just something that shouldn't be content for 7-year-olds up there unless a parent wants to say that it's okay. And I think you're crazy if you do say it's okay. But I'm telling you, a lot of the, now I'm looking down at their feed right now, they still seem to be featuring a lot of people who have said things about Charlie Kirk and might be losing their jobs. So I'm very curious about that. But here we go. If you go back a little bit in the timeline, so this goes back about 50 minutes, you have all of these screenshots of people that are canceling Netflix and saying, forget it, I'm done, I don't trust you anymore. Will this have an impact or not? Well, when Elon Musk gets involved and he's retweeting some of those things, tends to have an impact.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.